Today on Real Radio.
The concept of the day of worship is sometimes emphasized more than the day of rest. The problem with this is that the Bible nowhere commands that the Sabbath is an actual day of worship, as stated in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, and the keeping of it being holy, separate, or set apart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series on the Ten Commandments. It's often noted that the first part of the Ten Commandments are called the vertical commandments, if you will. In other words, they pretty much deal with our relationship with our Creator, whereas the rest of the commandments seem to deal with affairs amongst us, you and me. Well, Pastor Jack now examines what's truly the most controversial of the vertical principles, keeping the Sabbath day holy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs opening with a New Testament passage that helps pretty much lay a solid foundation for understanding the fourth commandment. Here's Pastor Jack.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you," that means you can bank on it, this will not fail, "till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, one hyphen or one comma of the Hebrew alphabet will by no means pass away till the law is fulfilled." Jesus puts his stamp and approval on the entire Old Testament. People today want to argue that we don't need to read the Old Testament because that's the old and it's done away with. We'll just focus on the new and we'll avoid the old. Jesus said, Paul said, the apostles taught, the scripture teaches that the Old Testament is perfect God's word to man. What the Old Testament promises, the New Testament fulfills. We're looking at the fourth commandment, and so Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 8. Technically, it is in verse 8, but in a greater sense, it goes all the way to verse 11. And if you're a note taker, this is yet again, since we started with the first commandment, it is a vertical commandment, meaning it's between man's relationship and God. The horizontal commandments are coming, but so far they've all been vertical, man upward unto God. Exodus 20, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, it is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servants, or your female servants, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth." By the way, mark verse 11 is a big, good reason why. The sea and all that is in them, "and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord," Yahweh, "blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." That is, he set it apart. Remember, the Hebrew counterpart, every Wednesday night together, we are bringing you the commandment in order, and also as the Hebrew rabbis teach, that there's a counterpart to the vertical commandment. There is a horizontal commandment. And the vertical and the horizontal meet up tonight this way, that the fourth commandment correlates to the ninth commandment according to the Hebrew scholars. And you might say, well, how in the world does that really link up? Well, look at the 16th verse of Exodus 20 in your Bibles. Mark it. You can even draw a little arrow there from 16, verse 16 to verse 8, because they correlate together according to the Hebrew mind. And there it says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And you might say, well, Jack, how in the world can those two things correlate as we advance in our study, the fourth commandment and the ninth commandment? This way, believe it or not, the correlation is this: reputation. God's reputation is at stake when we consider the fourth commandment. And regarding the 16th commandment, it is your neighbor's reputation at stake. You are not to lie about your neighbor's conduct. You're to be accurate, but you're not to lie. If you say something about someone and it's not true, and it is to their detriment, to their harm, if it harms that person's view of your neighbor for what you've said. You've slandered them. The Bible takes that very seriously. By the way, our court system used to take that seriously. They don't do that anymore, honestly. I'm not just making that up. They just don't care about that anymore. But there used to be a day, if you said something about someone that was inaccurate, you were going to pay a bitter price. Where do we get that from as a culture? We got it from the Ten Commandments. You are not to bear false witness against your neighbor, being the ninth commandment, correlating to our commandment tonight, the fourth, in this way, that the Lord says you are to keep the Sabbath day holy. It is all about God's reputation regarding being the creator. His reputation is, in fact, you know it, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? God what? Created. In the very first verse of the Bible, God makes an announcement about his reputation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He goes on to say, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and he, there it is, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. An awesome declaration. I need you to write this down if you're getting any cockeyed ideas about God is flinging the universe into existence. He's making trees and grass and fish, and he's making man, and he's like doing this stuff. It's like awesome. And he gets to the seventh day. Man, am I pooped? That was an amazing week. No, that's not what it means. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God didn't get tired. He's not tired. When it says that the Lord rested from his work, it doesn't mean that he got pooped out and said, man, that's it. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to go to Maui. I just made it. You know? No, he didn't do that. No, he's making a statement. He's making a prophetic statement. And you're going to understand that tonight as we go through the Bible together. In fact, I'll give you a big hint. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God gives us rest. God the Father, in the layout before Moses regarding creation. By the way, read the fine print, read the book of Hebrews, read Colossians chapter 1. It tells you who the actual contractor was at creation. I'll give you a hint. He wore probably a carpenter's robe in his hometown. He really likes building stuff. It's Jesus. The Bible tells us that none other than Jesus Christ, he is the creator of the physical and spiritual universe. Read Hebrews, the first four chapters, and Colossians chapters 1 and 2. It's awesome. Jesus is none other than the creator. But when we talk about the Sabbath day, what is God trying to tell us? Now look, I'm going to be quoting some great scholars because I could say it myself and sneak it by you, and you'd say, I don't like you anymore for saying that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the easy way out and have you blame this on, for example, Dr. H.A. Ironside, a great scholar who has gone before us. A friend of Dr. John Wolverd, who many of you met when he was here at this church in his days when he was on the earth. Now he's with Dr. Ironside and Jesus in heaven. But he was a great scholar and a world-renowned expositor of the Word of God. And he talks about what the Sabbath day is not. And I want you to listen carefully, because you and I may know people who take this commandment more seriously than all the others. And unfortunately for them, you'll see the folly of it. What the Sabbath day is not. Is it Saturday, he says, or Sunday? Is it the seventh day or the eighth day? Is it Jewish or Gentile? There are some religious groups like the Seventh-day Adventists that view the Sabbath as the day of worship, stressing the definite article, the day on which you should attend church for a worship service. While these groups typically also teach that no work is to be done on the Sabbath, the concept of the day of worship is sometimes emphasized more than the day of rest. The problem with this is that the Bible nowhere commands that the Sabbath is an actual day of worship, as stated in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, and the keeping of it being holy, separate, or set apart. Other scriptures command against working on the Sabbath, but say nothing that the Sabbath being the ordained of God day for worship. And there's a list of scriptures that he gives. In the old covenant dispensation, there was not one day, listen, there was not one day set aside for worship, for sacrifices were made daily at the tabernacle or temple, and worship was to be continually. Good point, huh? The idea that the Sabbath day is a God-ordained day of corporate worship is, in fact, not biblical. Traditional and historical Christians have held that the primary corporate worship for service is on a Sunday, the first day of the week, in celebration of Christ's resurrection, which occurred on a Sunday, Matthew 28:1, Mark 16:2, Luke 24:1, John 20, verse 1. We'll look at some of these verses later. It is important to understand, though, that Sunday is not the commanded day even of corporate worship for the believer. There is no explicit biblical mandate or command that either set Saturday or Sunday apart for the day of worship. Scriptures such as Romans 14, 5 and 6 and Colossians 2:16, again we'll talk about those later, give Christians the absolute freedom to observe a special day or to observe every day as a day of worship. God's desire is that we worship and serve him continually every day, not just on Saturday or Sunday. And all God's people said, amen. Why in the world would we limit the worship of God or esteem a certain day of the week to be the day of worship? You might say, well, don't you do that on Sunday? I say, absolutely not. I don't pretend to look inside your heart, and you cannot, I mean, you can pretend to look inside mine, but you don't know what you're going to get in there. The truth of the matter is this: the longer I walk with Jesus and the older I become as a Christian, I have to tell you, and we'll agree with Paul tonight, I would think, that for us, we esteem every day the same. What kind of day is that? The day of God, man. It is the Lord's day. Monday for me, in fact, look, let's be honest. Oh no, Sabbath, not supposed to violate the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. You're not supposed to do anything but go to worship on that day. And many people, like the Seventh-day Adventists and others, and I know I'm going to get mail for this. I don't care. I don't care because my position is not my position. My position is biblically based. For example, there'll be those who will say, you're supposed to worship God on that day and you are to keep the Sabbath. And we're going to wind up seeing scriptures tonight that God will say to the nation of Israel, you keep the Sabbath, you violate it, it could kill you. And then he also says that everything I've given you is a type, a symbol of that which is to come. And then you've got Jesus coming, fulfilling the law and the prophets. And Jesus did all kinds of work and even had his apostles and disciples doing work on the Sabbath. So if somebody says today, you guys are sinning. I honestly, you guys, had someone in our house, Lisa and I had them over for dinner. I'm not going to tell you their names because they're pretty famous people. And they were here, and I mean, they were at the house. And we'd never met them before by some other circumstances. We had heard of each other, got together. And this person sat at our table and said very lovingly, I think, it looked like it was lovingly and kindly to Lisa and I, it's too bad that you guys are such dear people. It's too bad that you're worshiping the Antichrist every Sunday. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. The amazing hypocrisy about this is that people who want to set aside, you can only worship God on Wednesday, you would say, what a goofball. If you can only worship God on Sunday, what a nut. What is that? Is not God constant and continuous, always with us? We can worship him any moment of any day, anytime we want to. And there is no prescribed day set aside for us, but watch this. If the same person says you can only worship God or corporately gather together on the seventh day, isn't it interesting? You have to ask them, did you drive your car to the church that you went to go do that worship at? Yes, I did. Well, you're in big trouble because the Bible says you're not to start a fire on that day, the day of the Sabbath. You can't start a fire. And to turn your car over, it starts a fire in your engine. And that's how you got here, or that's how you got not here, you got there. Let me ask you, those of you who are in your mind Sabbath keepers, and so you're holy. That's your big thing. I had a relative who didn't obey anything in the Bible but that thing. Truly. You want to hang on to that one. And yet, did you do any cooking that day? Did you eat any hot food? The Bible tells us you cannot. In fact, you have to cook in advance and store it. As a Jew in Israel, you are to store that because you can't cook any food on that day. And by the way, when you got out of your house to go to that place of worship on that Saturday, did you go over 1,000 furlongs? If you went over 1,000 furlongs, which isn't very far, you violated the law of God. You violated the Sabbath. Now, I said some strong things, but they're extremely accurate a moment ago. I pray that everybody would listen to what the Lord says to us regarding this amazing commandment regarding the keeping of the Sabbath day. We are in the fourth commandment. So mark it down. Point number one is this: what the Sabbath cannot do. You need to write that down. What the Sabbath cannot do. By the way, the word Sabbath is rest. Shabbat, Sabbath, rest. It's rest. It's awesome. It's great. Fourth commandment. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Watch, 6 days you shall labor. Are you a Sabbath keeper? Yes, then you must work 6 days a week, as the commandment of God says. Secondly, or first, you got to remember it. You have to work 6 days a week to do all your work. You can't work 5 days a week. You have to work 6 days a week, it says. Think of that. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God, and in it you shall do no work. Your sons or your daughters, your male or female servants, your cattle can't do anything. Strangers who are within your gates, they're not to do anything. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Can you circle days? 6 days. Did God really make everything in 6 days? The Bible says God made everything in 6 days. Are you insane? Pastor, are you nuts? That's got to mean 6 million years. The word, listen, if God, literally, I kid you not, if God wanted to use 6 million years, there's a word in Hebrew that God could have used for 6 million years. The entire Bible is absolutely perfect, but if we've got a little brain and a little bit of faith, we've got to look at that and say, no, there's the gap theory in Genesis. God couldn't have done it. He just couldn't have done it. It's just had to be bigger than that. And I love science because I shouldn't say I love science. I do love science. I get a kick out of the guys who claim to be scientists, but they can't wrap their minds around the data because, you know what? We've got geologists demanding that the Earth winds up to be older than what the astronomers say the universe is. You can't have the Earth predating the universe. You've got an Earth living in a universe that's older than the universe that it's living in. You can't have that. The Bible literally here says in Scripture that God did it in 6 24-hour episodes back to back, 6 days. From Genesis to Revelation, he calls it 6 days. You say, man, that's why I can't be a Christian. You guys are insane. You know what? If you can get past Genesis 1:1, everything's downhill from there. In the beginning, that's of the physical universe, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what? My thought is, listen, I mean this. I'm not being sarcastic. My thought is, what took him so long? 6 days. Seriously. If you can raise someone from the dead in a moment, then what's the... Is it harder to raise someone from the dead or create Jupiter? Jupiter just hangs out there. It does nothing. It just keeps some things in balance. It doesn't sing any songs. Jupiter doesn't write any poems. For God to resurrect a human being, that's awesome. For God to create a human being, that's amazing. It just causes everything else to be parsley on the side of your plate. It's just for dressing. Because he created you in the image of God. That is absolutely amazing. That is fantastic. But the Bible says he did it in 6 24-hour periods. And if you're God, you can do anything you want. That's how big my God is. I hope your God is that big. I hope your God is as big as my God. My God's bigger than your God. He is so huge. He's so amazing. And he establishes from the beginning this concept, this teaching regarding the Sabbath. Number one thing is this. What the Sabbath cannot do, it cannot rescue you. Will you write that down? It cannot be your source of rescue. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It cannot be your source of rescue. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Listen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Two laws. Did you hear them? In verse 2, you've got two laws that the Bible is announcing. There is the law that is in Christ Jesus that sets you free. That's the Spirit. And then there's a law that is responsible for sin and death. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ten Commandments are absolutely holy and pure, but they are the commandments, the perfection of God revealed to man, that cannot rescue you. The Ten Commandments cannot save you. If you're one today saying, well, I keep the fourth commandment, I keep the Sabbath day holy, I guarantee you, before you even get to the seventh day, there's been enough sin in your life to completely negate the keeping of that commandment. God's law is there to actually condemn us by glorifying God's holiness. None of us can approach God in all of his greatness and all of his holiness because we, from the very beginning, mankind fallen, is in a sinful state. Isn't it interesting that there was no Sabbath in the Garden of Eden? When Adam and Eve were walking in perfection with God Almighty, there was no Sabbath day granted in the sense that they, oh, we can't walk with God today. We can't walk with God today. There was the acknowledgement of God every day. You say, Jack, wait a minute. The Bible just says Genesis. You just read it a moment ago. Yes, but who wrote Genesis, ladies and gentlemen? Moses wrote it. Moses came way after Adam and Eve. In fact, for that matter, people want to talk about circumcision. Oh, you know, you got to be circumcised to be holy. Well, wait a minute. Where did that come from? It is true, but where did it come from? It came from Moses, through Moses. Moses wrote that. God declared Abraham, before Moses was ever around, righteous by his faith. The law is not to save. The law is to point. The law is to be like a roadmap pointing you to Christ. That's why it's absolutely ridiculous for somebody to say, I keep the law. No, you don't. And if you think you have, and if your friends think you have, it doesn't matter anyway, because Jesus exposed the entire meaning of the law. He said, you've read that you should not look upon your neighbor's husband or wife and lust after them. That's adultery. And somebody might say, that's right, I've never done it, never committed adultery. And Jesus says, I say to you, if you look at a man or a woman in lust, you've committed it. Why did Jesus say that? Because that was the spirit of the law. You can actually argue that in court. The law says this, Your Honor, but my client in the situation, what happened here was the spirit of him keeping the law, or whatever the case may be. There's truth to that. The Bible goes on to say in Romans 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law cannot get into harmony with my flesh. They don't agree. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Is that amazing?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that takes a look at number 4 of the Ten Commandments. It's undoubtedly the most controversial of the church age dealing with keeping the Sabbath day holy. There's more to come in this lesson from Pastor Jack, so please be sure to join us again on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, in addition to Real Radio, you can check out Pastor Jack on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. And look for the program called Journey with Jack Hibbs. That's the name of our half-hour television program, Journey with Jack Hibbs. But did you also know that on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek study live? That's hischannel.com. That's Wednesday nights at 7:30 West Coast time. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.